In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Hello.
Good to have you.
Well, hello. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Are you feeling worried, tense, anxious, or calm and relaxed and curious?
More calm, relaxed, and curious.
Same.
Very calm.
What would your natural state of being be? It would be a combination of moving between calm, relaxed, curious, excited, exhilarated, fearful, back to calm, relaxed, excited, exhilarated, fearful, back to calm, relaxed. But in your society, where you are bouncing around in every moment between calm, excited, fear, anxiety, calm, excited, fear, anxiety, 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 fear, 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 relax, 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 breathe, meditate, calm, 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 fear, 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 calm, fear, calm. So there is more fear here at this time for many people. And we are here to show you how to process this fear, because you didn't come here to feel fear. You came here to sift and sort and to get guidance and to understand where you're going. But there's no need to linger in fear. And fear is just a speed bump, letting you know where you're at, letting you know how you're perceiving things, letting you know how you stand in relationship with how the broader, wiser, higher perspective inner you sees your life. And so calm and curiosity are based in an idea of self that is higher than what you think of yourself right now. It's based in that you're protected, that you're taken care of, that someone's looking out for you, that things are going well, even when they seem like they're not. So when you're feeling a bit of anxiety, a bit of fear, a bit of negative emotion, we say, learn how to process that and get back to calm. Get back to calm. Because in calm, you're in allowing. In calm, you're going with the flow. In calm, you're understanding that you may not see everything as perfect right now. That you may feel a little bit of fear, but that fear is really an illusion. The fear is your idea that things aren't going as they should. But since you can't see from the higher perspective, you can't see the maze from 10 feet above the floor, you can only see what you can see from your limited perspective. And that's why you get these ideas that things seem to not be going as they should be going. So go back to calm. If you can get back to calm, then you can be receptive of well-being and receptive of inspired inspiration or inspired ideas, inspired thoughts. And then you can move forward in the curiosity of what's going to come next. And in that curiosity, you can push through fear. Because you say, this fear isn't real. I wonder why it's popping up. I wonder what's next. I wonder what's around that corner. Because you do not know, you do not want to know what's around that corner. You want the excitement of life, the interest of life, the not knowing what's coming of life. You don't want everything planned out. Because in that structure, you limit yourself. You limit what you can do and what you can, who you can be and what you can manifest and what you can create. So we ask you to think more broadly and to go inside through meditation, to understand that what you perceive as reality is not what you think it is. There is so much more going on here. There is so much more happening. There are so many unseen and unperceived facets of physical reality that are aiding you towards creation of anything you want. And so with that, we'd like to hear your complaints.
The complaint department is open.
That's great.
Who would like to start? You don't have to complain. We were just kidding.
Can I jump in then?
Yes,
I
no.
will. It's not so much a complaint. This week I heard that it might be something that you, it was something about with Paul McCartney in it, one of the Beatles. And he was telling the story of his mother, his dead mother, coming to him in a dream and saying to him, "Let it be, let it be." And he was describing the sense of immense calm and relief that it made him feel. And then the song "Let It Be" came out, etc., out of that. And to me, it was a perfect description of alignment and communication with non-physical. And I just thought there are some people who are doing this unaware of the necessarily of the universal laws, etc., and with spectacular results. And I know I shouldn't be comparing myself to them, probably, but I think I'm trying to apply that knowledge into my life. And I sometimes feel like I don't have the results maybe quite as spectacular as I would like them to be, which is maybe not necessarily a bad thing. But I'm just thinking we know these things almost inside and out. Now, it's just a matter of a degree of how much we're applying them. And I think to a certain extent, what you were describing in your introduction was talking to that.
Yes.
So how do we amplify that?
You amplify it by knowing who you are. You see, mm-hmm. we are trying to get the message out any way we can. And we get it out through those who are allowing the message to flow through them. You see? Mm-hmm. Now, Paul McCartney at the time had a high enough opinion of himself as a qualified representative of culture to bring forth any idea, even if it sounded crazy. Because he had an idea of himself as an artist, and that it was quite appropriate to bring forth all different kinds of ideas. And when he was in alignment and was able to bring forth the infinite intelligence that you all have access to, he brought it forth, and it came easily. And then when he tried to make things happen, it was less than spectacular. And you don't hear of those things. And there are other people who have written more appropriate songs and books that never got anywhere because they didn't have a high enough opinion of themselves as the creator. Mm. They believe that who are they to bring forth this information? That this will never be any good, that no one will ever like this, no one ever, will ever get it, no one will ever understand what the artist is trying to do. And so it's thrown in the trash or stored in a drawer somewhere never to be seen by anyone. So it's this combination of allowing the message to come through and the confidence to put forth the message to the public. And so you might have the allowing part to let the ideas flow to you, but not the confidence to do anything with those ideas. And the second part has to do with how you see yourself in relationship to the world around you. Are you being the magnificent and limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance that you are? Or are you being shy, doubtful, fearful, unworthy of these things, right? And so that's for you to understand yourself. And you can go off and get your certificates and degrees, and maybe that will make you feel more comfortable with yourself, make you feel like you can do something more, that you should be, you know, respected more, paid more, whatever more. But all that stuff is within you now. So all you have to do is, one, be receptive to the information that you think is important or interesting or valuable, and then understand who you really are and be confident putting it forth. Because you can bring the information forward. Look at Gary, for instance. He can bring the information from the non-physical easily. And he can put it forth comfortably to a select group of his very close friends and people who are friends of his friends and his very small community. And he can be safe and happy and enjoying life within this quite small group of 6 million people listening. But to go to the next level, he has to be more confident in himself, more aware that what he's able to do for this is unique to him, that no one else can do what he can do, and that those who will gravitate towards him will accept him as the messenger of this information, you know, and will not disrupt his life, and will, in fact, make his life even more enhanced than it is right now. And he's moving towards that day by day by day. And he's getting more confident and comfortable bringing forth Joshua and in many different ways, speaking it and writing it and having podcasts and talking and having interviews and things like that. And so he's growing at his own rate. But that rate could have been done the first day. It didn't have to take nearly 5 years that it's taken to get this to this point. But through the experience of every step, he expands and he's comfortable with the next thing. So on Gary's part, he's doing new things for him that is allowing him to expand and expand and expand and grow the community and grow the community. And then he will get to a point where he has more desire, and that desire will launch him into new areas and have new ideas that he will put forth. And it'll always be a match to what he's comfortable with, which is what you all want. You don't want to be a match to something you're not comfortable with. You don't want to have spectacular results when you're not going to be comfortable with those results. You think you want the spectacular results, but the truth is your vibration is giving you exactly what you want, exactly what you're ready for at every time. And that's based on your set of beliefs. So you have a set of tremendously beneficial beliefs that got you where you are. And you have a set of limiting beliefs that we will say keep you at a less than spectacular level of performance, because that's what you're comfortable with. In order to go more, you'll have to be willing to push the limits of those limiting beliefs, to push through your fear, to think of yourself more highly, even though there's no feedback from the universe or from your physical reality yet, right? Because your reality is simply a mirror to your vibration. And that vibration is showing you more through the reality you're experiencing now compared to a year ago, because you've come to see yourself as more. But yet, it could be vastly more. And when you're ready for it, it will be. But that's completely up to you. It's up to how much work you're willing to do, how much time you're willing to put into meditation and the analysis of your limiting beliefs, and your willingness to go into uncomfortable situations so that you can purposely trigger that guidance system. And so that you can purposely put yourself in situations that are uncomfortable so you can feel the negative emotion, and you can identify the limitations that you are holding out to yourself.
Mm. Yeah, it's all because we've got the knowledge and we just need to improve the knowing.
But imagine just the fact that you have the knowledge, just the fact that you know that you're an eternal being, that you know that there is the law of attraction, that you know that there's more going on here that you can see, that your emotions are guidance, that there is only two emotions, love and fear, and that if you're in a negative emotion, it's based in fear. Just knowing that alone gives you such an advantage over the system. And even without doing too much more than just this recognition of how the system works, that's enough to take you to new heights of existence that were not possible without this knowledge. So you can look at your life now compared to how your life was a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever, and see that just through what you've learned, how things have changed just in this time period. And in those areas that have changed the most, for all of you, it's because those areas had the least resistance. But there are still some areas for each of you that you're still resisting. And we will say it's basically based on your idea of yourself, your worthiness in context to those areas. And so if you just open yourself up more to realize that you are worthy in all areas of your life, and you can move forward and use this information to work on the limiting beliefs in all areas of your life. All areas are open. But you have to see yourself from a higher perspective.
Yeah.
So, are you worthy of anything you want?
I am.
And were you born this way, or was it earned?
I was born this way.
Are you more than or less than anyone else on the planet?
I'm just as equal as anyone else on the planet.
Those who seem to be doing better than you are simply seeing themselves from a higher perspective. That's all they're doing. Seeing that in those areas, they are worthy of that.
I can see that. And I think in some respect, I can see, I think in one of your answers to my questions in the one-on-one, you said, you know, you see yourself, you're 10% of honor at the moment, but imagine yourself at 30%, 40%.
Right.
And I think now I can see the progress. I'm probably at maybe 15% compared to 10% last year.
That's good. That's 50% more. Now imagine what the 30% is, what the 40% is.
But I think it's more eagerness than impatience in my case. It's just
eagerness is based in love. Impatience is based in fear. So
yeah, I see the potential. I was just curious about the way to realizing it. But yeah, it's just a matter of perception of your own self and yeah, really knowing. There's a huge gap between the knowledge that you're a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance.
It
and
depends
the
on
knowing of it.
Yes, it depends on the person. Some people know it. Some people have no problem knowing it. Some people have an easier time knowing it. And some people have such intense limiting beliefs about themselves that they will never know it. Mm-hmm. Not this lifetime anyway. But maybe they went from 1% of who they are to 2% of who they are in this lifetime, which is a tremendous achievement, a tremendous growth. And the next lifetime, they go from 2 to 4. Next, everyone is moving from fear to love. Everyone's on the same general path, but just doing it a unique way.
Yeah.
So it depends on what you want, what you're comfortable with. If you're not comfortable with negative emotion, then it's going to be very hard for you to move up the ladder of our no. Because our no at 80% is very comfortable with negative emotion, is very willing to put himself out there, is very willing to take the first move, is very willing to step up and to lean forward into whatever it is very willing to put it all on the line and to abandon past limiting beliefs in order to explore new interests.
I mean, can I even imagine what that honor would be like at 80%? I can't.
Your vibrational match to the present,
yeah,
present Arno, and so no, you can't, but what you can do is take steps forward, because with every step, you come closer to that, and you can see another step. You can get the next step. You can get the next step from there and there. But no, you can't possibly imagine what you'll be interested in when you are 50% or no. You can't imagine what will be important to you when you're 70% or no. You can't imagine what foods you will eat when you're 80% or no. You can't imagine the words you will use to speak and who you will be talking to and interacting with at 90% or no.
Isn't the best way to evolve towards that, to build that momentum, to realize the gap that we've come across recently and just appreciate that difference?
The best way to do it is to look back at past versions of our no and see how far you've come. And realize that had you received everything you have now, back in past versions of our no,
I would have been able to cope with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been too much fear. And so now you can see going forward that a future version of our no, looking back on this version, we'll see that the future version was able to deal with whatever the fear was that came up. And the current version is not willing to look at that fear right now, but is willing to move in the general direction of it. And is willing to take the next step and the next step, which you have been doing, obviously.
That's great.
Yeah. Thanks. So look towards the future with eagerness, but enjoy the now, because you'll never be this version of Arnaud again. This version of Arnaud is just as interesting, as exciting as the 90% version. It's never going to be better than this version right now.
And I'm enjoying the advancement. I feel so much more capable of things that I didn't think myself capable before.
Yeah.
And that's amazing in itself. But I'm kind of waiting for something spectacular to happen all the time.
Well, what you think?
And I don't know what it is.
Yeah, what you think would be spectacular. But... Yeah, what you think would be spectacular right now is not what you think will be spectacular in the future version of Arnaud. So don't worry about it. Let it go. Let it go because you don't want to be pushed into the deep end of the pool.
Yeah.
Let you want to wade into the pool and make the progress towards that deeper end on your own time. It's just that your culture values big things, because big things are newsworthy, are noteworthy, right?
That's true.
Yeah, and no one's going to turn on the news to see that everything's good. Everything's good today. Weather was great. People were good. Awesome things happened. See you tomorrow. So everything is good. Everything is good now. Things aren't going to be better at the higher version of you. Things are just going to be different. They might be more exciting, and they might be also more intense. So enjoy what you have now, because you're a perfect match to what you have now. And when you get to another version of you, you'll enjoy that then. And when you learn how to enjoy every aspect of you in every step, then you just have a really enjoyable life of expansion. So you'll be expanding in joy rather than sitting around in boredom and displeasure at the current state of your life and hoping for some spectacular thing to happen down the road, right? Like Christmas Day. You know, where you get to open presents one day a year. Why not open a present every day and forget Christmas altogether? What? Yes, forget looking forward to opening presents altogether. Enjoy the present of the day.
Find the excitement in the day.
Just enjoy this day, because this day obviously will never happen again. This version of you will never be again. Enjoy this day. There's nowhere to go. You're not going to get anything done. You're never going to finish. You're either going to be an emotional roller coaster in this day, or you're going to be calm and relaxed and eager and easygoing and finding ways to appreciate it and thoughtful and doing the work that will help you enjoy tomorrow. And then in tomorrow, you'll do the same thing all over again. And then if you can do that, build this momentum of spectacular ease and grace, then things will just unfold that you never thought of before. See, everything would unfold right now or very quickly if you weren't resisting it. If you were in a state of joy all day long, every day, without worry, anxiety, regret, resentment, all these things that you carry with you, then things would just pop, 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 pop.
I've actually had some of those recently. In the past couple of weeks, I've had some amazing manifestations, unfoldings that
excellent.
I
so
knew
you,
were in
so
my,
you are yeah. spectacularly using the system to your advantage. You are leveraging
Probably
what
are.
You know. You are stepping into who you really are. You are 25% no and not 15% or no.
Well, I'll say about that.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. That's
excellent.
Very useful. Thank
very
you.
Very good. That was a wonderful conversation. And we can't wait for the next one. Who wants to jump in? Does anyone feel a twinge of fear by jumping in?
No.
Then jump in.
really know what to talk about today.
What would you like to talk about?
I'm having a good day. I'm having a good time. And Joshua, I'm just so grateful for you because I've got myself to a point now where something pops up and I'll say, like, for instance, I have a lot of stuff coming up with the kids and activities, and I'm super excited. And my first mode, you know, was to go back into controlling. Okay, well, what if we don't do this? And how are we going to do that? And what if not everybody's not happy? And I'm just so quicker now to say it'll all work out. It does not define me. It is not my responsibility for other people's happiness. It's not my responsibility. My only responsibility is to live the joy. And if I'm feeling a negative emotion, I'm now able to say, it's just an emotion. Let's just let it pass on through. Isn't that interesting? And it's a good place to be. And thank you.
So you're finding it easier to find calm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And also being okay, like you were talking with Arnaud, being okay with where I'm at. Because I now truly understand that where I'm at is exactly where I'm supposed to be.
It's an exact match to the vibration you're offering now.
Yes.
Which is a phenomenal, vast, spectacular improvement over a year ago, 2 years ago, etc.
Yes.
You can see the difference. You can see the growth. You can see the moving from fear to love.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. You can see moving from control to ease and allowing. Mm. Yeah. And in those states of allowing, you receive all the information you need.
Mm-hmm.
You don't receive any more than you need. You don't receive anything that wouldn't make sense to you, that wouldn't apply to you. You receive what you need to do what you need to do. And if you need to do, what you need to do is be an example of calm, ease, and alignment, then you get everything you need, which includes the manifestation events, which includes the negative emotion, which includes all the lessons that you need to move to the next level of your evolution.
Mm. Right? Yes, and I like what you said to Arnaud about joyously kind of going into situations that will produce negative emotion because it's all just an opportunity to practice.
Yes, and instead of shying away from that in fear of negative emotion and living a limited life trying to control everything, you now say, everything's for me. So if I feel negative emotion, it's just the indication of a limiting belief that I can work on. And I would really like to know the limiting beliefs that are holding me apart from my joy and alignment on a continual basis. Because my purpose is to be a being of love, to express love, to be an example of love, to be an example of alignment, so that I can do what I'm inspired to do and explore what I came here to explore. And all those things that are meaningful in life, but the thing that's not meaningful in life is trying to control conditions just so you don't feel negative emotion. You want to feel negative emotion. You want to put yourself out there. You want to take on new risks. You want to accept invitations, accept opportunities as they come to you. You want to be open to new ideas and new pathways for growth.
Mm.
It would be like going to college and then finishing the first year and then taking all the classes over again that you already took just so you might get a little bit better grade. Well, in this exploration of reality, the grade doesn't matter because you always pass. It's not a pass-fail course. It's a pass-pass. You can't fail.
Pass-pass.
Right? So you wouldn't want to take the same courses over again and have the same information coming to you and try and control the teacher or the students who join into the class. You want new and new and learn more and grow more and expand more and discover more and use your powers of creation more and move further and faster to different levels of beingness, different levels of Wendiness, because only you can ever explore Wendy. You know, in this life, that exploration of Wendy will be it. There will be no more explorations of Wendy. You will not come back to explore this life. Your next life will be vastly different. No one will ever come to explore the life that you're exploring now. So you might as well explore it to the fullest.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But again, you can't fail. You've explored Wendy to the fullest it's ever been explored and ever will be explored. So whatever level that is, that is going to be an equal building block to the knowledge of the universe, as equal as every other brick in that whole building, right? Not only that, but every brick in that building is crucial to hold the building up, because without that one brick, that building could not exist as it is.
That's cool.
That's why you're worthy, because only you can experience Wendy, and only you can be 0% Wendy. Well, you can never be 0%. Let's say 1% Wendy or 99% Wendy or anywhere in between, and you get to choose. And the reason that you're not the fullest version of you that you could be is simply due to your unwillingness to face more negative emotion.
Right. Yep. And to uncover the limiting beliefs.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's trickier now because you know more. You know more.
Yeah.
Now, right?
Yeah.
So it's more difficult to be limited.
Yes.
You know, because now you understand what that really is, and that's just a fear of negative emotion. So it's the most irrational fear that there could be. It's the fear of the gift from the universe. You fear what the universe is going to bring you. But the universe can only bring you love. The universe can only bring you the best gifts imaginable. And yet you fear those gifts. Yeah. Did you ever have a gift at Christmas that you knew who it was from and you feared opening it?
I never thought about that.
Well,
no.
Possibly, if it was a fruitcake.
Yeah.
But generally, you were eager to open the gifts.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think another important part of it was that, and again, you've drilled these things into my head for the last 2 years, and I really appreciate that, and that the emotions don't define me. It's not who I am. They're just passing through. And that's just a huge realization for me, because I used to think, oh my God, I'm having, you know, this feeling. I must be terrible, or how could I possibly think this? It's not who I am. It's just something passing through. And that's kind of exciting to see, like, ooh, what's passing through today? You know, it's like, this is interesting. What does this mean? And then going into looking into my limiting beliefs and uncovering limiting beliefs that I had no idea I even had.
So a part of this information is the fact that you don't create thoughts, that you receive and transmit thoughts. Right. You receive thoughts based on your vibration. And if you receive a thought that gives you a feeling of fear, negative emotion, that doesn't mean that you manufacture that thought, that you own the thought, or that thought means anything. It just means that thought is a vibrational match to your vibration right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if that thought gives you fear, it means that your vibration in that area is attracting these thoughts that bring you fear. Now, your inner self is saying there's nothing to fear, but there is something attracting that thought. So what could it? Well, your vibration attracts a thought, but a limiting belief is triggered by the thought. And that's why you feel the fear. So that's how you identify, in the easiest sense, your limiting beliefs at the first thought. So it's fantastic that you can understand when a negative thought comes in that is based, it can only be negative because there's some limiting belief within you, right? Mm-hmm. So you've attracted this thought based on the vibration you're offering. Your inner self says, there is no problem with this thought. There is no problem here at all. Everything's working out for you. This thought came based on your vibration. Your vibration brings forth everything in your reality. If there's anything in reality that you personally don't prefer, then you can adjust your vibration. New thoughts will come in, and you get to play with those new thoughts and test them against your limiting beliefs. And adjust your vibration by responding and analyzing and doing the work to reduce the intensity of your limiting beliefs. So our drill bits are getting bigger and bigger. And they're diamond tipped, and they're going through. But we like to drill this into you because you just are living in a society that does not pay attention to limiting beliefs, does not even understand that they have limiting beliefs, does not understand why negative emotion happens, or what's causing the fear, or even that the fear is irrational,
right?
Or that there's no need to protect themselves, and that they're being taken care of. They would just let go of their defensiveness. But the defensiveness is this existence in fear that just causes them to attract more fear. to attract more fear. It's a state of victimhood that creates a reality that reinforces their idea of victimhood, however intense or mild that is. But if you're a victim at any point of the day, if you catch yourself complaining about anything, you're acting as a victim in that moment. And your reality has to confirm to even a tiny degree your belief that you're a victim. But if you're the creator of your reality, then your entire reality has to support you as a creator. That's just how this system works. Mm. It's just the rules of the game.
Amazing system, an amazing game.
And you somehow figure out a way to get in the ballpark, to get the rules to the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So bravo.
Yeah. Thank you.
Excellent. The most exciting conversation. Wendy, you don't really understand that conversation allowed us to pull forth ideas that we had never grasped onto before.
Cool.
So you never know what's going to come forth. If you have just the slightest inspiration to say something, whether you can form that into a question or not, you can jump in. You can push past the fear, enter into the conversation, and just see where it goes. Instead of having this idea that, oh, I have to have a question. It has to be a good one so other people will get some benefit out of it. It has to be meaningful. We have to have some result. Right? That's still a bit of control, isn't it?
Yes.
So imagine just saying, we are in a conversation with infinite intelligence where we just get to play and talk and converse, and there is no need for any specific outcome. And the question does not define me. The conversation does not define me. Let's just play with the possibilities. You know? Yeah. So
that was the nugget right there, the control. Back to control. Oh, my gosh.
Well, in this environment where we are operating at a very high level, we are leveraging universal forces. We are bringing forth information that has never come out in the same way before, that people are getting new understandings of what reality really is. We have access to infinite power of the universe. Mm. And just by jumping in and playing the game, you create something new that's never been before. So that conversation never happened before, and that level of conversation never happened before. And that's all because you're willing to jump forth and face possible negative emotion if something were to go wrong, right?
Mm.
Yeah. So that's what pushing through fear is, pushing through fear, just to jump in. So who wants to jump in the conversation now? Not even knowing what you're going to say, just trusting that the most divine, unbelievable, spectacular information will come through that's never come through before.
Hey, Joshua, it's Isabel.
Hi, Isabel.
Hi. So I was watching a show this past weekend, and it was a concept. It was a British show, and it was a concept that they were scrying messages in black mirrors. And they were trying to communicate with the angels through this weird kind of sound music. And I looked up scrying today, this morning, because I was inspired. And I was looking up black mirrors and how it's been prevalent in our society as a tool to, I think, to channel, just to basically communicate with the non-physical.
So you can use Ouija boards, seances, meditation, dreams. There's endless ways to communicate with the non-physical. The communication with the non-physical is the most elemental, basic aspect of this reality. It's designed in the system. You're always communicating. Every time you think a thought of another person, it's communication. Every time you think of a thought of someone who's transitioned to the non-physical, that's your communication with them. Every time you meditate and think a thought of someone, that's your communication with them. It's like in every pore of your body. It's part of your whole system, yet you deny it. You make it so much harder than it is because you believe that your thoughts are manufactured rather than your thoughts are received as communication, as packets of information. Your thoughts are received by you, and you process those thoughts. And those thoughts mean something to you based on your perception of reality. So if your perception of reality is highly limited, say that you're intensely religious and you believe in the written word of whatever your religion is, then you're going to disbelieve a lot of things. Well, you're going to disbelieve every other religion. You can disbelieve anything that doesn't resonate with the things that you've been told that you believe in highly. And you're not going to realize that those beliefs are limiting, right? But by definition, those beliefs are limiting, aren't they? If you choose that this belief is the only way things could be, then you cast aside any other possibility. You cut a very narrow wedge in the pie of possibility for yourself. Now, if you say, that's a possibility, that's a possibility, that's a possibility, that's a possibility, you make your beliefs malleable, well, your society would call you, you know, irresponsible or irrational, that you can't believe in everything, right? Well, you can believe in what resonates with you. And if our teachings resonate with you, and when we say that keep your beliefs as malleable as possible and rethink your definitions of everything so that you can really find the truth for you in those things, other than the truth that was ascribed to you by those who were in fear of something happening to you or them, well, then now you have this radar on that will alert you to other methods of communication. Right? Just as you have. So if we were to ask 1,000 people talking to us here, 1,000 people would have found some TV show or some article or something different that, you know, that corresponded to their interest. And so here's something that's corresponding to your interest, right? So to you, does this seem like the easiest way to communicate with non-physical?
No.
To them, if they believe that, oh, this other plane of existence is higher than us, and we aren't worthy to just think thoughts and communicate that way, we have to do this work and make these efforts and sacrifices and sacrifice goats so that we have good weather and things like this, blah, 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 in order to talk to non-physical, right? Here you are knowing what channeling really is and seeing that, yeah, these people had to go through this to do it. And still, they had questions in their mind. And people will always have questions in their mind. They'll always doubt it to some degree. But if the information is beneficial, it's beneficial no matter where it comes from or how it's gotten.
Yeah, I think you know, when I was like watching the show or whatever, and I said, oh, look how interesting. Look how the creator, and I looked up the author who wrote it. And, you know, I found it amusing and playful. And I said, oh, look at this scrying. I said, oh, yes, it's been in our history for a long time. And it's just a tool. It was just a tool that people used to talk to the non-physical. And then I did think, like, wow, look how lucky I am. I can just have a conversation in my head.
Exactly. And that's not lucky. That's because you became a vibrational match to that.
Right? Yeah.
Because you allowed for yourself, your beliefs were open enough that you could say, I accept this as a truth for me. And in doing so, I accept that I am just as able to communicate with the non-physical as anyone is. And not only that, but the way that I do it will be unique. And the information I get will be unique because it'll be coming through me. And I'll be filtering it through my perception of reality. So it'll come in a way that no other channel can bring it forth. It'll be a different channel, right?
Yeah.
And so
it's the translation.
Yeah. So some people will resonate with how you do it. Some people will resonate with how Gary does it. Does it matter? You will notice that the basic tenets of it are consistent, no matter where it comes from. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yet no one wants to believe it. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Isn't that interesting?
Why not? It's still fear. Yeah.
Fear? What's the fear? Why would someone not want to know that they are the creator of their own reality?
Is it because they want the illusion still? Is it because they want a certain experience?
It's
of
We would say that in a fearful society, being taught what you're taught as children, the last thing you want is to understand that you are absolutely personally responsible for everything that happens in your reality. Yeah. You are coddled, we will say, and it is not in your best interest to think on your own as far as your society is concerned. Your society rather not have you think on your own. Your society rather have you fall in line because you're so much easier to deal with when you fall in line.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. The rules, it's control, but that's controlling, but there's so many of us and there's, you know, I understand the power of a few in our society seems to control many.
Okay. No one is actually controlling anyone.
Okay.
Because no one can create anyone else's reality.
All right.
So all control is all self-imposed control. All self-imposed limitation based in fear. Okay. All of it. Right. You obey whatever laws you deem appropriate. Either because you would never cross those laws anyway, or because you fear the repercussions because you believe yourself a victim in some way. Yeah. So if you stop at stop signs, right, if you're inspired to because you want to stay on the planet a little bit longer, then that's great. But if you're worried about getting a ticket, well, that's a different thing altogether.
But it goes back to the question is why do we not want to know that we're creators, right?
Right.
And if there is no form of control,
right,
and you can only create in your own reality, then right, that means those beings are choosing to not to be a victim.
Well, to be a victim. Those who are remaining in control are choosing to be a victim. Those who are remaining, who are unwilling to understand that they're the creators of their own reality are choosing to be a victim. However, they don't have the choice otherwise. They aren't aware of any other choice.
Ah.
Right? You became so either compelled to something more or frustrated by what life was that you, and this is all of you who are listening to this, that something in a desire led you to us or to wherever teachers you resonate with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might have been led first to The Secret, then to Abraham, then to us, and on and on and on, looking for an explanation to life that makes sense for you because you were not satisfied with the explanation you were being told, right?
Mm-hmm.
To a freedom-seeking, abundant being, it is not pleasant to live in a society of hyper-control.
Mm.
Right. When you are a relatively wealthy person with relative freedom, you seek more and more wealth and freedom, more and more abundance and freedom. And yet you bump up to areas of control. And you fight against things you've been taught, especially if you were taught in organized religion. Things just don't make sense,
mm-hmm,
right? Things that you know innately. So you seek something else. And then you come to a point where you're told, no, this reality is a playground and you are in absolute control of every aspect of it. You create your own reality. No one can create your reality. You are responsible for everything that happens in your reality. And you say, well, if that was true, I wouldn't have had this and this and this happen. And that's because, and we say that's because you are looking at it upside down. You are looking at it from a form of control instead of a form of allowing. You are taught to control. You are taught that control works when it does not work.
Right.
Yep. And so you say, if I'm the creator of my reality, I would create a reality that looked like this. And we say, no, you wouldn't. You create a reality that resonated with who you were before you were born into this reality. You wouldn't do any of the things your society deems valuable. You don't need a big bank account. You don't need any of the things. All you need to do is exist in a moment, following your inspiration that will lead you to your passions and interests, and living in bliss, and receiving abundance, which means receiving everything you need when you need to explore reality as you chose to explore it. Right? That's how you would do it. So totally different than how you were taught.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you get into the idea that there's more going on here than you can imagine, and that you create your own reality, and that you're still trying to create your own reality from a stance of control rather than a stance of complete, absolutely letting go, letting it be.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. If you I still need my swimmies.
If you can get to that level of let it be,
yeah,
that everything is for me, that every obstacle is not an obstacle,
mm-hmm,
it's actually a message. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is what you came here for. That's why you're talking right now. That's why you're listening to this right now. That's why you're interested in this information to begin with. And more and more and more and more and more people are doing it. You see, if you're born into strict poverty, then you don't learn to think more than that. Your freedom is limited. You can't travel. You can't do things. You don't, you know, haven't the means to explore other ideas, that sort of thing. But now this planet is coming to a level of abundance and wealth, of information and possibilities, that the sky's the limit. And people are coming out of a state of slumber or unconsciousness into a new state for the first time in history, right? All over the world. All over the world. Anywhere they have access to information. Yeah. Because they say, if they can do it, I can do it. If they can do it, I can do it. If they can do it, I can do it. How can I do it? How can I do it? How can I do it?
Right.
Seeking.
And I also think the quantum discovery of the quantum theory and the quantum science, I think that really helped our society see that possibilities exist.
Yeah, it might enable some of you who are, you know, have this belief that science is anything.
Mm-hmm.
That, if the scientists believe it, then I can believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Because science
it's mainstream.
Science is the ultimate belief, right? It's the ultimate. The ultimate way to control a belief system. Oh, science. But there is no real basis in science. The science will change every day. The science is all based on the vibration of the scientists, the vibration of the participants, vibration of the motivation to do the study in the first place.
Yes.
Yeah. You look back on all your science that you had in the 50s, you go, oh, those people were just completely, you know, missing the boat 100%. We know more now. Our science is better now. It's exactly the same as it was then. You know, you're exploring, you're figuring out, but you're figuring out that methodology is vibration. And determinism creates results based on vibration. And that the results always have to match the vibration of those who are doing the study. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they have their agenda and their vibration, then it's going to match that. And that's why many of these things, people can't match these same results. And those who can match the results are just getting on the same vibration. That's all that is. Yeah. So, but yeah, if there's a segment of your population that believes that science is the answer to everything, then, and the science says that quantum physics proves law of attraction exists and that you create your own reality and that things happen based on observation, law of attraction, then yes, some people can get into that way. Some people can get into it by becoming a vegan or getting into yoga or meditating. Yeah, there's lots of different ways to do it. Yeah. And then some are going to be inspired to create videos, write books, write songs, write, you know, documentaries, things like that. And more and more and more people get to see it. And then you're in this phase right now where no one's hitting the share button on Friends of Joshua, right? Because no one wants to be found out that they are interested in this information, but you are all the pioneers of this. You're all on the leading edge of thought. And it's lonely out there on the leading edge of thought. But get ready to move over because there'll be more people on that leading edge.
Last Isabel.
Excellent. Isabel, thank you for that. Who's next? look at these conversations just going crazy. So interesting.
This is Genevieve.
Hi, Genevieve.
Hi. I want to talk a little bit about passion specifically for people who didn't even, well, myself didn't realize that passion, having a passion was something that everybody could have, I guess, because my mind and thoughts were always in doing and producing.
Right.
So now I realize some of my passions, but one of them being painting and henna art. I asked this question a year ago almost, and I just want to talk a little bit more about what's expanding, or not expanding the passion, but like getting better without efforting.
How can you get better at henna art?
Well, the practice and through practice and appreciation.
How could you physically get better?
Through practice and
appreciation. Is there any way that you could be better than you are now? How would you judge yourself being better? How could you look at what you're doing now, and what would be the idea of better?
Cleaner lines.
But why is that better?
Well, I'm still attached to, like, making money.
Well,
and I realize
so
that.
What you're attached to is saying that the reason I'm not making money is because my lines aren't cleaner. But the truth is, the reason you aren't making money is because you don't think that what you're doing is worthy of money. You want to do it, yet you don't want to ask money for it because you might have to come into the uncomfortable conversations with people saying, oh, no, I'm not paying for that. No, I'll do it for free, but I'm not paying for that. And then you're going to attach your own value to whether they pay for it or not. And you don't want to say, I have no value if they're not going to pay, right? You say, imagine now if you were booked up for the next month every day with people who are paying you $1,000 a day, right? You were going to art fairs and conferences and corporate events, and they're just paying you $1,000 to be there, right? And you're booked up for 30 days now, so you have $30,000 worth of work to do. You will be absolutely confident in taking money. And in fact, if anyone offered you less than $1,000, you would look at them like they were crazy, right? Wouldn't make any sense. Now, the only way you can get there is by understanding that you are worth $1,000 a day. You're worth $1,000. But if you don't make $1,000 a day, it doesn't mean you're not worth $1,000 a day, okay? Because you are worth $1 billion a day, $1 trillion a day, $1 gazillion a day, right? It doesn't matter. What you get paid for has no relation to what you're worth or who you are. That's all it is. What you're doing right now is in an exploration of worthiness. Your whole life is an exploration of worthiness. You know, how are you going to make yourself feel worthy? How are you going to defend yourself from feeling unworthy? Even more importantly, right? You defend yourself from being unworthy by avoiding those areas where you attach value to, possibly relationships, possibly dating, possibly money, possibly career, things like that, right?
Yeah.
So you say, okay, I really like doing this thing, and I really like money, and I would love to charge money for doing this thing. And if I was only better at doing this thing, then I could get money for it. So until I'm better, until I get my certificates and my degrees and my experience and all that stuff, I'm going to have to not ask for money, because no one's going to see any value in it unless I have certificates and degrees and experience and plaques and good reviews and recommendations and lots of that stuff. Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. Everything that you need to explore what you need to explore is within you right now, or will be revealed to you along your path. You are self-contained. You don't need to get anything outside of you. You can bring it forth inside you, but that's an inside job. That requires that you stop using anything outside you to give you value, to attach value to yourself. You are valuable just as you are. You are limitlessly valuable. You are priceless as you are. And we mean that about everyone, because that's just the fact of the thing. You can't look at anyone and say that you're less than or more than them, because you'd just be lying to yourself. You are equal to every other human being. And whether the reality shows you or not has nothing to do with who you are. It just is an exact, perfect representation of who you think you are in this moment, your vibration, right? So this fear that you have of asking for money, you try to overcome that by wishing you were better. But there is no way to get better until you realize that you are valuable. Because you could be, well, like most artists who die, starving, right? They never realize their value until they've transitioned to non-physical and now all the resistance is gone. And then suddenly their art's worth millions. Don't you think that's interesting? As soon as their resistance is gone, then everyone notices the value of what they created. But when they're resisting it and resisting it and resisting it, then no one can see the value of it. Because imagine that one henna tattoo was worth $1,000, right? And that everyone would pay that for it, you know, if it was done by you. And except that there's a little block in the way, and that's the block of Genevieve. Genevieve is resisting that $1,000 because she doesn't feel worthy of it. Okay. I will guarantee you that if Mick Jagger was signing a name in henna art on someone's arm, that person would pay $1,000. Right? There'd be a lot of people who could do henna art who don't even know how to do henna art who people would pay $1,000 just because it's done by that person. Well, that's your potential. That's your potential. They would pay you $1,000 because it's coming from you. But you have to believe in yourself so that you believe you're worth $1,000 or $25 or $100 or whatever it is. You have to believe you're worth that much, but don't attach your worth to whether or not they agree. Mm. Whether or not they agree has to do with their issues, their perception of reality, their money in their pocket, their idea of lack and scarcity, their inspiration, their emotional state of being. It has nothing to do with you other than your vibration, your offering, right? So offer the vibration of you're getting an amazing discount. This is normally $1,000. You're getting it for whatever it is. And you will find yourself getting better on your own. You'll be like, this is amazing how easy this is. This is amazing how good I'm getting at this. I'm getting better and better and better. But you do not have to be any better than you are now because you are brilliant as you are now.
How does that sound if I'm sitting there thinking that or vibrating that or feeling that? How does it sound?
I love what I'm doing right now. I enjoy this process. I am so happy that I have someone to scribble on right now, that this art that I'm doing is an expression of me. I'm in bliss. I'm focused on this. Time's losing its meaning. It doesn't mean it. Time's flying by. I can't believe I did this whole thing so quickly. I can't believe everyone's watching. Look at all these people watching it happen. Look at the fun this person's having getting it done. Think of the fun they're going to have in the next few weeks as they walk around with this art on their body. Isn't this exciting that they can have a tattoo that isn't there permanently? That they can get art customized for them or unique to them, that this will never be done the same exact way to anyone else ever. Isn't this a fun and exciting thing? Leave the money out of it. Leave anything out of it other than you are lucky enough to get to do it. Do you love doing it?
I do. But I'm still, when I see, especially right now with the painting, when I see it on paper, it seems challenging to be like, this is great. I love this.
Do you love the doing of it?
I do.
Okay. Do you love the judging of it?
I do not.
Give up the judging of it, because the judging of it means nothing. The judging can only be done in fear. See, without fear, you would judge everything you do as spectacular beyond measure, as brilliant, as magnificent. If you did not attach your art to who you are as an individual, you could draw a stick figure and go, that is the most amazing stick figure that's ever been drawn, ever. Right? Yeah. Wendy, if Wendy was to draw something, she would say, that's quite good. That's really good. Because she doesn't attach anything to herself as an artist. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Is there maybe a step between the judging it and not loving the judging it and the giving up the judgment? Could there be a place of learning to love the judgment of it?
Learning to love the judgment. Mm-hmm. Learning to accept that there is judgment in physical reality. That learning to accept that there will always be fear and that fear will come up. And then you can process the fear and see it in another light. Learning to give up the attachment to your value to anything or that anything means anything. Yeah. So is there a step? There's probably a million steps. Sure. Yeah. You'll go at your own pace and you'll move towards what feels right for you. Yeah. But if you just understand the fact that if you're judging something that you've created, you're attaching your own value to that creation. Instead of realizing that the creation came forth from the non-physical through you as best you could do it, you don't create anything. You are the facilitator of it. You are the one who gets in alignment with it. You are the one who moves towards the fun and joy of it. And you do it because you like to do it. But it'll never mean anything. Even if people pat you on the back, they're only patting you on the back because you're a vibrational match to the pat on the back. Mm. Yeah.
I think that's another thing that's been pretty interesting to me is the idea that I wanted a shortcut, or I wanted just to be there. And what I've learned is very much learned this is there is like a ladder that you have to go through, or I've had to go through to get to where I am right now. And that ladder includes being where I'm at.
Right.
And then pushing through that. And yes. So I think it's the biggest, like, if I do this, I'll get this. Or if I, without going through the steps,
right.
there's no, in everything. And I've realized that not only in art, but also in my, physical activity, like yoga. Like, I have to feel that body part and I have to appreciate it and I have to love it for it to get stronger.
Yeah. And what you're doing in all of these things is using them to expand and to see yourself from a higher perspective. And so every time you do yoga, you feel more confident and capable than you did the first day you ever started.
For sure.
And so you see yourself as more proficient, more bendy, more stretchy, more pliable than you were before. And so you allow yourself to be more bendy, more stretchy, more pliable than you were before.
Mm-hmm.
You allow yourself to say, oh, I can do this. I can do this. What can I do now? What can I do now? What can I do now? I did this. What can I do now? What could I do? You know, what could I do? And a lot of times it's to say, take a more advanced class. I could take a more advanced class. I'm ready for more. And that's a fine way of doing it. I can charge for my henna tattoo. I can charge this amount. Oh, people are paying this much. Oh, this is good. I'm comfortable with this much. What can I do now? Where can this go? What can I do now? What's more exciting now? How do I push this further now? How do I get more out of this now? What can I do? Asking these kind of questions, like, what can I do? Yeah. You're always going to be playing with who you are now and where you can go from there. And if you look at other people and say, oh, it seems so easy for them, how do they do it? Let me copy what they did. That'll never work because they're on their own thing. What you do is you look back at who you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a year ago, 6 months ago, all the progress you've made, and realize that every step of the way you push through some fear, you did that first yoga class. You did that first henna tattoo. You got that first payment for your art. You got that first job. You had that first relationship. And what can you do now? Well, you've expanded through those experiences. You're ready for something more. What can I do now? What fear can I process and push through now? Because you could go in the middle of town with a sign that says, henna tattoos $1,000 and sit down in the middle of the square right now. You could do it right now. Right? Would you ever do it right now? Of course not. You know, would you go to an art fair maybe and sit down in a booth and say $25? Maybe you're ready for that right now. For certain, you know, and then you can move forward from there. The judging of it is your way of controlling your beliefs about yourself.
The judging of it is a way for me to control the beliefs about myself.
Right. You say, oh, I'm not good enough, and that's why people aren't paying. If only I was good enough, instead of saying, I am attaching my value based on how much money I'm getting. And since I'm not getting any value, any money, I must not be worth anything. And in order to be worth more, I need to be better at it, right? Instead of saying, in order to be paid, I need to realize my value separately from anything I do, because anything I do has no representation of my value. And I only do it because it's enjoyable. And whether I get paid or not doesn't make a difference because I still enjoy it. But I'd like to get paid because it's fun to have money. So I might as well get paid. It's realistic to get paid, and it means nothing whether people do pay me or not. If I sit here in a booth not getting paid, well, that has nothing to do about my quality as an artist because no one came to see it anyway. They have no idea. You don't have, you know, you're not in a repeat business anyway, really. You're in a walk-by business a lot of the time. And so you are casting a shadow of doubt around yourself, and people have to keep walking by. Instead of saying, please come in, let me draw on you. I'd love to draw on people. I don't care if you pay me or not. I would do this all day long because it's enjoyable. And then let the money flow. Let the money flow. Because it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with your allowing of yourself to be valuable on your own, intrinsically, born into, birthright of abundance. You're unique and worthy and wonderful as you are. You don't need to prove yourself to anyone in henna tattoos, in yoga, in relationships, in a profession, in anything else. You never have to prove yourself to anyone, and you can never get the proof back from your reality. Figure it out on the inside. And you do that by challenging your limiting beliefs and pushing through fear to do more and more and more things. The more things you do, the more you're going to expand. The more you expand, naturally, you'll see yourself from a higher perspective. And as you see yourself from a higher perspective, your world's going to change to revolve around who you think you are.
You say the more things you do, the more that you'll, the more you challenge yourself to do more things, the more you'll expand.
Right.
And also those things, they're not something, of course, that I have to, like, well, I feel like expanding. I want to expand. I want to expand completely. Let me go look for things.
It's no, just there'll be offers for
saying
you.
Yes to whatever.
There'll be offers, about. Saying yes to the offers. The offers will perfectly match you. Okay. We are not saying the offers will always turn out to be what you want, what you think you want. But they will always turn out to be for your benefit. And you can't timidly go into those things worrying about the worst possible thing. You can go bravely into those things in a stance of curiosity going, I wonder what this is going to bring. And if you do, you're showing to the universe you're ready for expansion. And if you don't, you're showing to the universe that you're not ready for expansion. And either way is fine. The universe does not care.
Bam. Got it.
Yeah. Good. Excellent. We have.
I want expansion.
You want expansion? Sure. Exactly. And as you expand, your vibration changes. Your vibration raises in all types of expansion.
Okay.
Okay. Good. Okay. We have time for one more. Who's going to be brave? Who's got the most fear right now of talking? Just say your name. That did not work.
You thought Drew?
That would work for sure.
Drew. Yeah, we'll say Drew.
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 We feel you.
See, it's her. She can't even speak. She's so afraid.
I was muted. I was on mute. I had to come off of mute. Okay. I have to, again, a lot of times Kyler and I talk after the
session with Joshua, and I always say how the session impacted me, even though they were not my questions. And I'm going to say that this is probably one of the most powerful ones in our recent conversations. And what I was saying to last week after the session was that I'm listening to people who are very fearful of taking chances or the unknown or what I always call jumping off the end of the pier, not knowing what is coming next.
And that that wasn't one of your problems, was it?
Never. And I think back, and I've been writing notes to myself as I've been listening today, and it's like I realize how very young I was when I realized that I could do the impossible. And I don't know where all that came from. And it would, if I was to ask the question, it's like, did I come here into this life knowing that already? And, but I just encourage others, it's not so much about me in this question. It's like, I honestly have experienced that when one door closes, another one opens that I never would have expected. And the growth and the things I've done and...
So do you have an age? Is there an age in your life when you did the first jump, the first leap of faith to do something? Can you think of an age that you were?
I know that I was very young, probably between 10 and 20 at that time. Mm-hmm. The ones that I can be specific, more specific about the time, is that I had a 15-year career in the steel industry. I had positions that women had never been given because it was a man's world. And after 15 years, I realized they would never let me go into outside sales. I didn't want to be in management. I didn't want to be what they offered. I wanted to be outside. And so I took a little trip in an RV with a friend. And at the end, and after spending a week or two of doing whatever we wanted every day, I said, this is what life for me needs to be. Not working 5 days so I can have a weekend off, not working a year so I can have a couple weeks vacation, but doing what I want every single day. And I don't know what that is. I just know that what I'm doing is it.
Yeah.
And I would say that I was probably in my late 30s at the time, so that's one that I can put a time frame on.
Yeah.
And so when I got back from this vacation, I went in and I told my boss I was leaving, and he was shocked because I did have one of the highest positions for a woman in the corporation. And he said, but why? What are you going to do? And I said, I really don't know. But tell me what it'll look like if I stay longer.
Yeah. But you were called to something else.
And basically, management. And I said, I don't want management. I want outside sales. He said, for a woman, that will not happen.
Yeah.
And this was the thinking back in those days.
Yeah.
But I left, and very quickly after that, I put my house up for sale because I realized I didn't have an income and I didn't want to have to worry about house payments. And the realtor that came said, why are you selling your home, which they always do? And I told him, and he said, oh, how about going into real estate? Well, to make a long story short, I did. And that was the beginning of my realizing that I did not need to work for somebody. I could be independent, never know what my paycheck's going to be, and end up making more money than I ever was able to make working for someone else. So...
And
that's what I want to say about that phase.
Yes.
And I want to encourage other people to do that, to take that chance, because you'll never know what's coming.
So you had an idea of your value and your worth, so that when you were called to do something else, the fear was not so intense to stop you. You had faith in yourself that things would work out.
Yes, and I had no idea how or why.
Right, and you didn't need to know how or why. That's how strong your faith in yourself was. That's how strong your faith in things are going to work out was. And so when you had the opportunity or you had the calling to do something, you just went with that. You weren't Frozen by Fear. Yes.
No.
That's an excellent explanation of what we're talking
where
about.
I know that I created something that literally was impossible. Like, I made an investment one time and I had to make the payment like on Monday, and I had no idea where. Over the weekend, a friend that I barely knew said, "Oh, it's just unbelievable happening with somebody I barely knew, and yet I had the money for Monday that I had committed to." So those kinds of things have happened to me all my life, and it's like I never understood how or why until Joshua.
Yeah. Well,
and now I have a better understanding of it.
Now you can say, when things like that happen, what are the odds? And the odds are always 100%. That's just how the universe works. It's a simple system. And those of you who naturally are able to leverage the force of the universe because they have confidence in themselves, well, moving forward seems easy. And those of you who have fear about moving forward, well, just think about being calm and knowing what you know and having a little faith and living in the moment and realizing that this universe is designed to support you so that you can explore that which you came here to explore. But if you're not going to explore anything, then there's not going to be a lot of things happening. So be prepared to explore, but do so in joy, because everything can be done in joy. We've enjoyed this conversation because it's been literally the most high-level, fascinating, groundbreaking unlocking of infinite intelligence that the world has ever seen. And years from now, when Gary transitions to the non-physical, and all this resistance is left, people will finally find this information, and the world will be set free. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.